Super Gamecast 64, episode 108. Today on the show, an old friend returns. They got comics out in California. You can't have sex with people in the new Mass Effect BioWare game. And there's lots of games to talk about. So with that, to my two beautiful hosts, both
I'm
the same...
I'm going
to
do it first. DJ.
Why don't you guys do both at the same time? And it's like Kevin didn't listen to what I had to say. And nope. Just episode 108, Kevin's reign.
Kevin's, it's time. I'm back.
So this is Super Gamecast 64. We're a comedy show. We're also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I used to be your host, Matt. But
me now. It's all Kevin all the time.
I'm not sure where I fit in here.
I think you're second ring now. I'm at the bottom.
Look, I've always been second ring.
Hey, man.
Second potato?
That's just where you put yourself.
Potato number two.
Guys.
The potato that satisfies.
Guys, it is deep into the pupper days of summer. Have you been feeling the heat?
Nope. I don't go outside.
Same, bro.
My air conditioning doesn't reach upstairs.
Oh, that's, yeah. Kevin, you sleep in what is essentially the attic.
The nude. Oh.
In the attic in the nude. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How's that been on you?
I have one tiny little 5,000 BTU air conditioner all the way down the hall.
Oh, that's rough.
It's the little air conditioner that could.
Speaking of little things that could. Little machines.
Why'd you look
specifically
at Tyler when you said that?
Hey, let's not point any fingers.
Well, I mean, it's because it was my job to bring him.
Exactly. We're talking about our old friend, our good friend. Actually, I don't think he's been on this season yet, has he?
Also, you probably shouldn't call him old. That's kind of rude.
He's been around for a few seasons. Let's not bury the lead. We're talking about our good robotic friend, the Review Robot 2K12 3000, brought to you by 2K Games, not brought to you by 2K Games.
Brought to you by Pepsi.
Hello.
Pepsi.
So,
sorry, I read that wrong.
Added a few features.
Oh!
He is now clockwork, so he's going to be great to record.
Tyler's good. Really into steampunk now,
good,
all of a
good,
sudden.
Good.
Not all of a sudden.
Funnily enough, that actually has not had any bearing on how his voice sounds.
It's interesting.
I am so glad to be back on the show.
I was really happy about
imagine
that.
Imagine that.
Imagine a world completely full of robots. And imagine
clockwork.
A world... Yeah, well, clockwork robots. Besides the clockwork?
He's much, much smaller.
That's C, hence the beginning when you're talking about small friends.
He actually fashioned him into a backpack. It's kind of cute.
He's like a Swiss Army knife, except he's a...
I like him so much that I made a backpack of his likeness.
You also didn't give him legs so he couldn't run away from you.
That was the point.
That's probably pretty horrifying. Imagine just being in your closet for like 2 to 3 years, and then you're like, oh, I really want to come out and play with my master Tyler. Except he doesn't. He just carts you out when he needs you and then fashions a backpack out of you and wears your likeness around.
I didn't fashion a backpack out of him.
Okay, let's...
I like him that much. I think other people should see him, and it's great.
You know what? You share the sentiment of the person who reviewed us on iTunes, and if you want to get the Review Robot 2K12 3000 on the show again, all you gotta do is go onto your Apple iTunes.
You know what'd be awesome?
What?
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay.
If we could have, like, people that are in our audience that are, like, artistically inclined to draw what you think the Review Robot 2K12 3000 looks like, that would be so cool.
Yeah, I feel like that's reaching. I don't feel
it,
like...
It is reaching a bit, but we have games to give away, man.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We have games to give away. Let's
draw,
do this.
Draw the Review Robot.
Do you still have ukulele?
Yeah.
The ukulele, it was a great game. I don't want to hear you chuckle fishing over there. More about that later. I got to transition everything. For real, though, if you guys want to have the Review Robot on the show, we wish it could be on the show every single episode. But he's only on the show when you review our show on iTunes or Stitcher or, you know, Google Play. We're all sorts of places now. And that means, guys, we did get a review on iTunes. Awesome. I probably should have looked up the username of the person who did it.
Yeah, probably.
I'll retcon that. Guys, anyone guess? Anyone want to guess? 5 out of 5 stars, 4 out of 4 stars, 3 out of 3 stars. How many stars are we getting?
6.
6?
Out of 10.
Not out of 5.
5 out of 7. Perfect score.
Oh.
Overwhelming. Too much water. IGN. Anyone for a guess? How many stars?
93%.
5.
Okay. Well, Tyler treated the test correctly, like it was real, and he got it right. I'm sorry, Kevin, you failed, so you are now off the show. Now it's Matt's reign once again.
Well, I'm setting up my own podcast during this podcast,
right.
So Thank you. Welcome to 24 Kevin.
Get back.
How long have you been sitting on that?
He said it earlier. 5 minutes ago. He said it earlier, and I deflected it because I was like, he'll have a better time to use that. Let's hear this 5-star review from our good friend, our listener over on iTunes. Review Robot, why don't you spit out that review for us, bud?
It is nice to hear a podcast made by the fans for once. Very enjoyable. You're officially a staple of my podcast rotation.
Oh, dang.
Dude, I'm so glad. Dude or lady, you know what? Really? I'm so glad that we're part of your rotation. I strive to rotate at least 3 times a day.
That is from our friend All About That Ugg.
Ah, thanks, Kevin.
Or UG, I don't know.
It's whatever you want. Whatever. Man. It's whatever you want. I'm really happy to see these iTunes reviews come in because last, you know, we had to do the new RSS like a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And then now, you know, we don't have any of our reviews. So, guys, we need them now more than ever. We need the Review Robot back on the show. Hit us with that 5-star, or any star, really, whatever you want. And the Review Robot will read it live out on the show. Thanks, Review Robot. And thank you, Tyler, for the clockwork does look sticky.
You know, I don't mean to be like cold and unfeeling, but you don't have to thank him. Like, that's what he's built for.
Oh, yeah. He has one purpose, and his purpose is to serve.
Right. And so, like, his service is his, you know, his passion.
I mean,
I guess.
Now you're being rude.
The robot.
Guys, speaking of things that were rude to people who care, let's talk about San Diego Comic-Con and the trailers that were shown. You know what? I guess if you're a DC fan or a Marvel fan or anywhere in between, this Comic-Con was something. It definitely made some rounds.
It happened.
I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there on your bus, on your train, on your toilet, wherever you're listening to us.
And that's where I listen to us.
Primarily, only the toilet.
Yeah, you just throw it straight in there. And you're thinking, you said, Matt, this was a comedy video game show. We're nerd adjacent, so we are going to talk about things that are also nerd adjacent.
Like D&D.
yeah, you know, one of you guys throw out that cool fun factoid that Kevin told me before the show.
We'll get it more into this as we find out more, but this is kind of like smoking hot news.
Mm-hmm.
D&D is going to cross over with the Magic the Gathering universe. They're going to have a book specifically made for D&D that deals with the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica.
Have we ever seen two titans of the industry this big ever cross over?
You know, they're the same person.
It's all
right?
One.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's
they're both
Wizards
of the Coast.
Reddit r/TIL today. I was today years old when I learned that Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually have a friend who works for Wizards of the Coast, so I feel bad that I didn't know that. Sorry, Kyle.
Is that a real person?
No, it's a real person. Yeah, your name's Kyle. Haven't talked to him in like 6 years.
Me up with a job.
Dude, I only name drop him when I want to talk about Wizards of the Coast.
Is he a wizard?
Yeah.
Baby wizard.
Exactly.
What about Wizards of the Plains? We should make that. Just Ohio-based.
Yes. Wizards of the Corn Maze.
Wizards of the Lake.
So, Magic the Gathering, D&D, they came together.
Yeah, yeah.
Nerds came together under Hall H to watch all the newest trailers for the superhero stuff. Guys, there was a lot of different trailers that got released this week specifically, and I don't want to talk about every single one of them. Only the ones that you guys care about. So, let's go to Tyler, because Kevin was talking last time. Tyler, What of any trailers from San Diego Comic-Con did you watch? We had the Aquaman.
That one.
Wet Dave
and the Wonder Water Friends.
But it's still really funny.
Let's talk about Aquaman real quick.
I also saw the Titans one.
We'll get to that. On three, everyone say whether or not you think this movie will be good. Aquaman.
On a scale of what?
On a scale of yes or no.
Oh.
I just want everybody at this, because I've said some things about this Aquaman trailer, and I've heard the opposite, and I feel like maybe this is a divisive film trailer. So before we even get into the discussion, we're gonna go 1, 2, 3, and then I want everyone to say either yes or no. Will it be good or will it be bad? Do we understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Ready? If it's good, yes. If it's bad, no. Okay.
Got it.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
No. Okay. All right. See, this is what I said, because I watched the trailer.
Watched the trailer.
Okay. Well,
Aquaman is just the only DC character I give a shit about.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I think they ruined it.
No. Okay. Well, it's DC.
I'm
so
interested.
At this point, I'm not surprised.
Okay. Yeah, good point. That's my thing, is that DC has made such blunders as like Batman v Superman, which even to that point, I thought it wasn't completely terrible. But
why'd
also
you say that name?
Also, Wonder Woman was pretty good.
Yeah, that is true. Wonder Woman was pretty good.
So I try to hold out hope. But after watching the Aquaman trailer, them graphics, they're not really that great. I don't really hold the movie to its visual quality, but when we're talking about a movie that almost exclusively talks about a man who can speak underwater to fish and shit, kind of want that top tier CGI.
We want that Henry Cavill mustache.
Wait a minute, I thought he only had one power.
I want that Naughty Dog motion capture.
Man, Aquaman's dope.
I thought he could only speak to fish.
Aquaman just shoves his head underneath the waves and just makes some cool bubbles.
He just goes into a bathtub.
Under the bathtub, low key chatting with the shark from Finding Nemo. Yeah. Okay. So Tyler, what was it about Aquaman that really struck you?
I thought his dad was the previous king of Atlantis, not his mom, the queen of Atlantis.
So you're more of you're approaching from a lore.
Is what you're saying?
I'm nitpicking. Okay, yes. Yeah. They're both blonde, and he's dark hair.
Hey man,
it's Jason Momoa. Like,
yeah, that's all fine Pundit and dandy squares, and all baby. That.
Pundit Squares, bitch.
Is that where you came from?
So no, Aquaman,
the mailman.
Aquaman is same. Jesus Christ. The stork dropped me off. We're losing the thread. We're losing the plot. Aquaman's gonna be okay. We'll find. I just wanted to talk about comic books because
dude, Aquaman's awesome. I'll talk about Aquaman.
I like Aquaman. I feel like at this point maybe they should just stop. The DCEU.
They need to. Yeah.
I feel like they should just reset, just come back, leave Batman where it's at.
Yeah. You would like more Ben Affleck Fat Man?
Dude, no, just leave Batman. Like I'm saying, just leave Batman. Don't ever go back to it.
So just cut him out. Mm. He's never part of the Justice League again. He never shows up.
Yeah.
And it's just the rest of them.
And Superman, and Superman.
They call it the Just Us League.
It's just Wonder Woman.
No bats.
It's just Wonder Woman, dude.
No bats allowed.
No bats.
Fuck Batman. Let's talk about that. Let's fucking talk about that, guys.
Can't keep the darkness inside.
Can't keep the dark. I saw a really good GIF made by Mike Peterson at Mike Peterson on Twitter with the fuck Batman thing. If you haven't seen the Titans, that's what it's officially called, yeah?
Titans.
The Titans TV show?
There's no way that's a TV movie? Show.
It's a trailer for either a movie or a television show, probably a movie.
It looks like a TV show.
It's TV show caliber. It's also probably a Netflix thing.
If CW made a movie.
So the...
that was rated R.
Everybody
had the fuck word in it.
That had the fuck word.
Only once, and it's for Batman.
Everybody on social media freaked out when they saw the original screens for this Teen Titans real life adaptation is what we're talking about. Because the characters did not... The real life adaptations did not accurately represent the characters, their costuming, etc., etc. People were freaking out about it, and then they said, just wait for the trailer, guys. It'll be cool. You'll see. We get the trailer. You got flying Dick Grayson, who is now Robin. And
who is stabbing people in the throat.
Yeah, and stomping on their necks and stuff. It's very violent right off the bat, and one of the henchmen is all like, where's Batman? And to that, Robin says, Tyler, you do it.
I don't wanna.
Okay, Kevin, you do it.
Fuck Batman.
Nah, well,
it's just like that.
Fuck Batman.
Fuck Batman. It's really that's about it. Now that we lay it all on the line here, it's really just Robin said fuck Batman in a trailer.
That's really like all I remember from that trailer. I just remember a couple shots of like
the green dude jumped off a building.
Yeah, he didn't talk at all.
Nah,
Beast Boy.
He jumped off a building?
There's a shot where he's like jumping in the air.
Yeah,
no
I remember
beast
that.
Action. They didn't show any beast action.
No, they showed him in lion form.
I didn't pay attention then, I guess.
I think.
My brain kept replaying fuck Batman.
Yeah. Well,
then Starfire at the end.
Well, no, that and Raven being like, I don't know, like a whiny can't control it girl.
Raven is like 11, I almost said 12. 11 from Stranger Things.
Yes.
If that character was not good.
But even 11 has like, she's resilient, she's reliable, she's like a strong character. I got nothing but like this whiny, like, I can't control my powers thing.
And, yeah.
Well, that's kind of how she starts off.
I've never really gotten into the cartoon.
The cartoon was awesome.
That's what I know.
In the cartoon, she's like sassy. She's like very confident and like, yeah.
Not until like the later on.
Whatever, I guess.
I'm out of my element here. I'm out of my depth.
But then again, like I watched this when I was 12, so.
Yeah.
How long has that thing been going on?
It ended.
Okay.
And then they made Teen Titans Go. So whoever's been in charge of that IP really needs to fucking stop.
The last thing we'll talk about from San Diego Comic-Con, I almost forgot about it, which once again proves how out of my depth I am with this. Star Wars had a new announcement.
Oh, God.
Okay. We don't have to talk about it. If Tyler, do you like the Clone Wars? The animated thing.
Yes.
No, okay. That's a fantastic show.
Oh.
But...
You're not excited about this?
No, I thought you were talking about the new trilogy that they announced.
Oh, I missed that completely. I'm not even paying attention.
They announced another trilogy.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm sure they would. No, they said they're going to make a movie every other year, or they're going to make a movie every year, one episode and one
the GLCU.
Dude, no. Okay, so Star Wars: The Clone Wars.
The GLCU.
George Lucas Cinematic Universe.
Oh.
Are you guys excited for the Star Wars Clone Wars?
I like Clone Wars. That's some good Star Wars content.
It is. It was really interesting and really dark at times.
Yeah.
Another thing that I haven't seen, is this the series in which Anakin Skywalker redeems himself as a character? Could we say that the Anakin in this is very different, is almost a different character? Okay.
Yes.
Because it has a likeness of the kid from the prequel movies.
Hayden Christensen?
Yeah, sorry, I was struggling. But I don't feel like...
I watched all of them this past weekend.
The prequels?
And the original.
So that's why you said, wow, that's pod racing.
And Rogue One.
Rogue One's the best Star Wars movie.
And The Last
Besides
Jedi.
The original trilogy. Don't give me those
weird
eyes.
I watched all of them.
Seriously?
The women and children, too.
I saw Anakin slaying yinglings. What's wrong? You don't like Rogue One, Tyler?
Not really.
Rogue One was fantastic.
I like the gritty war shit. Guys, but let's move on, because we really do have quite...
We gotta get into the games.
We have a lot of games to talk about.
We gotta get EA Sports.
And before we get... Yeah, into the games. And before we get to the games specifically, we gotta talk about some news.
Yeah.
We can kind of get to this stuff quickly.
Can I mention something that's not game-related, and then we can move on to games?
Yeah, I mean...
Did you hear about the guy who got arrested at a Planet Fitness, and he was butt naked?
Yeah, because of the no judgment.
He cited that it was a no judgment zone.
I mean... Did they have anything in the policy that said you weren't allowed to hang nuts?
Did the
lunk
alert go off when he dropped his dick on the floor?
The lunk alert. I actually saw another Planet Fitness video of a guy setting off the lunk alarm by doing just like, I don't know what kind of move it is, but he was like doing push-ups on top of a pull-up bar. And it was like he wasn't even doing the lunk. I don't go to the gym, guys. So, and if I do, it's very rare. And I usually am the one doing the lunking because I'm dying. But yeah. Yeah, you can't hang... You guys, you can't just hang nut at the gym. You can't just do that.
Just
you can't really
brain.
Do that publicly. Yeah,
just
no.
Hang brain.
You can't. Do that in the safety of your own home or community that accepts that. Speaking of not being able just to walk around naked and do whatever you want, a very angsty Robin says, fuck Batman, DC's new Teen Titans trailer. He must have seen Ben Affleck in Justice League.
Oh,
from
damn.
Esquire. Lovely headlines brought to us by Tyler.
I thought that was hilarious.
It's a good one, and that's what we'll leave San Diego Comic-Con. This was more of a joke, but I guess, guys, Mass Effect was made by BioWare. BioWare is making the new Anthem game. Many people don't realize that because it's third-person shooter.
It's BioWare?
Yeah, that's the same people made Mass Effect, making Anthem.
Wait a second.
Yep, see, there we go. We already got one. Now, Tyler, now that you know this, how do you feel about the fact that you won't be able to have sex with alien people in it? Well, you won't be able to have sex or relationship at all.
It's not...
Yeah, it is, bud.
No, it's BioWare. It's not Mass Effect. What do you need to have a relationship with anyone in Anthem? It's just Destiny with an A.
I guess that is the deeper problem to it, is that...
Destiny?
Do you expect... Destiny. Do you expect, when BioWare is making a game, do you expect and hope for things like deep narrative that have intertwining relationships and the potential to maybe get a fuck? Or...
I think they
set up that precedent. So, if they deliver anything less than that... People are going to be disappointed.
It's just there was a lot of fan outcry. I really don't care. I mean, I don't really... A lot of relationship stuff in video games when it's mechanical? Yeah, when it's mechanical like that, when it's tied into something like that, it feels kind of cheap. I find that the most effective relationships are the ones like Joel and Ellie that form over the path, or the Firewatch and the lady mm-hmm. who's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, forcing romances and stuff, it doesn't make sense, so we'll see.
I personally think that this is going... to be the game. I don't know. I guess I can't say this with much conviction, but if there were to be a game where gamers were going to try to stick it to EA,
is this one?
It's going to be this one.
I think
Battlefront.
Yeah, I think that they have
people got pissed.
They've effectively lost their safety net, so they cannot screw up. When you come out of E3 and you're like, guys, we won't do microtransactions, and they clap, and that's the only thing they clap for at your press conference, you know you're bad off. Tyler, did you have anything to add to this romantic conversation?
Yes. Name me two other BioWare series.
Knights of the Old Republic and Jade Empire.
Dang, that's good. That's a sick pull.
If you told me to do three, I would have been like, I can't.
Oh yeah, you like BioWare? Name two of their albums.
Oh yeah, the White
Sonic
Album.
Sonic Chronicles? Like a Sonic game by BioWare.
And this is yet to come out.
Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. No, this is 2008. It's done.
Is that the one where you can make Knuckles and Tails kiss?
That's the one in your dreams again, dude.
Oh, fuck.
You keep confusing reality for your dreams.
No, it's Fuckles, my fan fiction.
Fuckles and Tails. This is an explicit program. I'm going to have to make sure to hit the...
Oh, my God, dude.
It looks like a good game.
Isn't there, like, a Sonic called Dark or some shit like that?
Shadow the Hedgehog? Yeah, he's the one with the gun. All right.
This looks like Super Mario Superstar Saga, but Sonic form.
Tyler will have to play Sonic Chronicles and get back to us.
Just call it Sonicles.
I just wanted to bring up, by the time this comes out, it should be... Well, you can at least watch the VODs. You know how they did Games Done Quick, guys?
Yep.
So people over in Europe, because Games Done Quick is primarily a North American event, they have what's called the ESA, the European Speedrunner Assembly. And this week, that is up until July 30th, they are doing that. It's a 7-day-long speedrun event in Europe, and they raise money for Save the Children, but it's all the European speedrunners. And if you like speedrunning marathons, it's another one of those. Personally speaking, I really like the games a lot more because they're chill and they don't really care about the whole PG rating. So they're playing games like South Park, Stick of Truth, Max Payne, all the Grand Theft Autos, a lot of really good Dark Souls runs. They pretty much played the entire series, except for Bloodborne, if you consider that, and Demons. But yeah, if you find that interesting, go to Reddit, r/speedruns, or Twitch VODs, and watch some speedruns. There's more and more for you than ever before. And if you're listening and you can catch it live, go ahead, catch it live, donate to Save the Children. That is twitch.tv/ESA marathon, one word, obviously. Did you guys catch anything from ESA? I feel like I'm the only one who watched it.
Unfortunately.
It's okay. Yep. That's usually how it is with Games Done Quick. It's usually how it is also with ESA. I'm sure I'll show you guys a few.
This is a visual gag I'm going to post in the Facebook group, but you said Bloodborne, and that's all I could think of.
Oh, okay.
Somebody made Eustace from Courage the Cowardly Dog in Bloodborne.
If you want to see this meme that Kevin is showing us, you can go
to our
Facebook group. Also, send that to me so I can post it on our Instagram, which is something I wanted to bring up. I'll bring it up again at the end of the show.
Yeah, you've been killing it with that, man.
Yeah, it's just SuperGameCast64 on Instagram. We post cool. It's mainly like really aesthetic looking things that are colorful that I like to post there. Speaking of things that are not aesthetic, 22 minutes, we got to move into the shit. We got to get into the trenches, boys.
I'm just excited to be back.
I'm excited to be back, too. You know who's not excited to be back? Nintendo. You know what they're not excited to be back about? Their games from 20 years ago on websites. That's a really weird way for me to, like, wrap this up. Nintendo went after this guy who makes two ROM sites. Made, we'll say that.
Oh, boy.
Because he, you know, you have, like, your cool ROM and your, like, Emu Paradise.
Yeah.
And those places have Nintendo ROMs.
Right.
ROMs, for those who don't know, they're essentially versions of old Nintendo games or old Sega games, old games general that you can run on an emulator on your PC or other technology. Long story short, this guy specifically uses Nintendo cover art, back of the box stuff, screens. It's all but, hey, this is where you can get free Nintendo ROMs, okay? Historically speaking, let's just poll the audience and poll you guys. Have we ever heard of a developer going after a ROM person specifically?
No.
Like,
no.
Torrents, yeah. When you torrent stuff, you hear about pirates getting taken down, all sorts of DMCA stuff. This, Nintendo went after this guy, and I just want to bring it up because they shut down both of his sites that were supplying ROMs, and it was to the tune of $2 million for every Nintendo trademark that was infringed on, and $150,000 for every Nintendo game, I think. That was, long story short, this guy just caught himself a lot of lawsuit. Not to say it wasn't founded, but I think the long historical thing of ROM sites, in particular, are people say, you know, it's okay. No one's gonna care. And really no one does, except for Nintendo.
Yeah, don't mess with Nintendo. They're, you know, like a tyrant.
This this whole story
we gets, love them, but they're a tyrant.
This whole story gets a definitely lot funnier when you take my viewpoint of Nintendo, which is that the only Nintendo employee is Reggie.
It's just him.
It's just Reggie, and he's going after this.
And
dude.
Shigeru's in a cage. He's like, make another
isn't
one.
Isn't that right, Shigeru?
Isn't that how he pets him? Drops a carrot in there or some shit. Shigeru doesn't care. That's where his desk has been for the past 30 years. I just want to say that. Yeah, fuck you, Nintendo. Stop. I mean, not really. That's completely well within your right. And that guy who made the ROM sites was definitely infringing on your copyright. I guess I would be more lenient on Nintendo if they didn't try to like stifle every ROM hack, every cool use of their IP that's not going to be making money or anything like that.
I say video games belong to the people. Eat the rich. Eat the rich.
Yeah. That Nintendo belongs in a museum. That's my Indiana Jones. Guys.
You belong in a museum.
You belong in a museum. We like ROMs, don't we? I just thought it was funny off the back of Nintendo shutting down a ROM site. I wanted to bring up that popular ROM creator Kaizo has made a 60 FPS widescreen remake of Super Mario 64. The reason that is...
But they won't go after this guy. They'll go after the other guy.
Oh, no. This is the... Okay, Kaizo, I think I'm saying his name right. This is the same guy who made the Super Mario 64 online, where like 12 people could play together in the same server. Nintendo shut that shit down super fast as well. So I just wanted to bring it up in the same breath. The reason it's interesting to me, at least, and maybe to you listening at home, is that old Nintendo games, and specifically Mario 64, the speed of the game was directly tied into the gameplay, or the frame rate, okay? So the reason you can't just pop up Mario 64 and run it at 120 FPS is because then the game will play like four times as fast. So what the guy essentially did is took the game, ran it at 60 FPS, it's a lot of technical shit, and I'm not going to pretend to know it, but he had to remember where the camera was and track it specifically, because you're getting a wider shot. There's a story on Kotaku, I'm pretty sure there's a side-by-side comparison video as well. It's really cool. It's really, really cool. And I think if we're going to talk about Nintendo shutting down ROM sites, we should talk about ROM creators making cool shit that Nintendo refuses to do! The last time they made a Super Mario 64 remake was for the DS. The original DS. I just want to say that. Make a Super Mario 64 for the Switch, guys. With that, Kevin, Tyler.
Yeah.
We're done with news.
All right.
Does anybody have any other things? Any hot tip they saw maybe in their local newspaper? Maybe on their beloved column. There's something that they care to bring up. It's after E3. It's always weird because you got a nugget of info?
Microsoft is releasing like two separate VR systems.
Oh, I saw some shit about that. And
also they're releasing one of those like all-in-ones of a Commodore 64, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think they announced the Commodore 64 a few months back.
Probably.
It's kind of similar to like those Atari flashbacks or the Sega Genesis things. You hook it to your TV. Interesting.
That's my first game system.
Yeah. Listen to episode 64 for Kevin's like top five favorite things for the PlayStation 1. I don't know why. I thought he talked about the Commodore 64 a lot in that episode.
I did.
But yeah. Yeah, it's always weird when you're in the middle of the summer. Not a lot of releases. The releases that are coming out are kind of low-key and not a lot of news stuff. But yeah, a lot of development stuff, especially with these next-gen consoles. We're hearing a lot of rumors and shit like that. Tyler, anything for us? We could always wait till next week. Like I said, not a lot of news, guys. San Diego Comic-Con pretty much been dominating the headlines.
Not a lot, just a half hour.
Yeah, you got your Glass trailer, you got your Star Wars trailers. Just go on YouTube and type in San Diego Comic-Con if you want some new content that's going to be coming out. With that said, we're going to get into games. And you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with you two. Maybe this is just a Kevin one.
Might be.
I didn't play the demo, even though I downloaded it.
We played enough to talk about it.
Okay. Octopath Traveler, guys. We're continuing the Nintendo train. Go, do it again.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
No, you do it.
No, you... It was a spur of the moment thing.
Octopath Traveler. Nope, couldn't get him. Okay. Kevin?
Yeah?
What is this game? Stop looking down when you're talking.
No.
But what is this game? What is it about? How do you play it? Who do you play it with? Give us the rundown.
Well, you play with yourself.
Okay.
Eight Always. Different selves of yourself.
Ooh.
No, so the whole thing, it's a Square Enix JRPG. Classic JRPG. Feels like...
Feels like home.
Feels like a... It's got a lot of... it feels good. It feels comfortable, but it's new. if that totally makes, you know, like, very little sense.
Both new and familiar.
Correct. It makes me feel like I'm playing an old school RPG from my childhood, but there's enough modern stuff to keep my dumb adult lizard brain hooked. Whereas before, as a kid, you were just persistent. You didn't care about bad mechanics because all that mattered was, you know, like,
I have this game, and it has 100 hours of gameplay.
Yeah, I don't have any other games. Like, I'm just going to keep perfecting the timing on all of my attacks in Legend of Dragoon and, you know, going to the Golden Saucer every 5 minutes in Final Fantasy VII. And there's a rescue mission going on right now here in the studio.
I just want to say that young Dan Owen just he Splinter Cell Solid Snaked so far into this building that I did not even notice until Kevin looked over. So we could have all been killed, and you would have heard it all on
live on air.
So Octopath Traveler,
so
why don't you do me this, like. Your three favorite things and your three least favorite things about it. Because I think JRPGs, they're so big. There's a lot of things you can talk about, but they're all yet so similar.
Let me give you a little synopsis, a little taste.
Do what you want.
Imagine if you could start an RPG anywhere at any point in the story.
Okay.
That's Octopath.
No, it's not.
It basically is. Okay, you pick a character to start with. You pick a character to start with. That's a character you're stuck with the whole game. You can't swap them out of your party. But what you can do is travel around the world, find other characters that you also could have started as. You play through the beginnings of their chapters, and then you continue to travel. Eventually, over time, you'll unlock more of their story, their second chapters, things like that. And the chapters are, you know, usually a small intro as to who their character is, their origin, and what their current goal is.
I was going to ask that because the things that I've heard that are, I guess, maybe less than satisfactory about this game is that it doesn't have really a overall plot,
mm-hmm.
That it's more like eight stories that are just kind of at the same time.
Yes.
So I guess that was my main question is, it is just whoever you pick first is what's going to be the focal thing?
And not even that, because you do play their chapter, but it doesn't make the story more about them.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
But you can't trade them out.
But you cannot trade them out. I don't know if that plays in. I have not beaten it yet. I don't know if that's a factor later in the
game. What's the max party size?
Four, I believe.
Oh, okay. So.
The cool thing is they have a royal path and a rogue path. So each character has a foil to them in the opposite path. So, for example, my character is a thief. His royal opposite is a merchant.
That's
they
fun.
Both have similar out-of-combat abilities that they can perform on NPCs. So the thief, and I have very limited experience with this, so I'll only tell you the ones I know. The thief can steal things, just like Skyrim. There's a percentage chance. If you fail to steal something a certain amount of times, your reputation in the town drops.
Sounds like a lot of overworld mechanics as well.
But it's not as clunky as it sounds.
Oh no, I'm just saying, in my mind it was always just open world navigation to turn-based combat, this whole like you could pickpocket people.
One thing I do like, each and every screen is like a beautiful tableau. They've done a really great job with this like background blurring. It makes it feel real cozy.
Or foreground blurring.
Yeah, exactly. The other favorite thing I have is like you're not walking into a ton of buildings. So you know how like in old RPGs, you'd walk in, then it would load. And you'd have to wait for it to load and render the building. And then you can walk around in the building and then there's nothing in there and you walk out. And
based
then you have
to load wait for times? It
to, yeah.
Hell yeah.
You just walk into a building and it's almost like a diorama. The outside world just melts to black and you're in the building.
And the front gets cut off.
Yes. So it's almost like watching a play in a
it
weird
is.
Way.
I agree with that. That's good.
So I think my three favorite things about this game. One is the combat. The combat in general. It does kind of get tedious, just as all JRPGs tend to.
Comes with the genre.
Right. You grind a lot. You end up running into a lot of the same things and fighting it and whatever. It can be tedious. But if you're somebody like me, in this case, who enjoys that because, again, it's comfortable, it feels good, then you're not gonna mind it all that much. The one thing I want to mention about the combat is it's got this really great... I don't want to call it rock, paper, scissors because it's really not that...
Simple.
Reduced. It's not that simple. Every creature you fight has a couple of question mark boxes underneath it.
Ah.
And if you've never fought it before, those remain as question marks. Next to that, they have a small shield that has a number on it, and then the creature's name. When you attack it, your character has a live choice between two weapons that character specializes in. So, for example, we'll use a thief, since that's the one I'm using. He can use daggers or swords. If you attack with the dagger and the creature's weak to it, boom, your question mark box lights up with that icon.
Ah.
You know from that point on that that creature has a weakness to that, and then that shield number drops one.
Sounds like a visual representation of, like, the Pokemon formula.
Kind of. Like, but
sort of.
When the shield breaks, the creature is stunned. So if it's charging up a move or something like that, you can stun it for a turn, and then all of your moves actually deal bonus damage to it. So it's almost like a defensive stance, if you will. So once you break that stance, you can then deal more damage to them. The other cool thing is,
yes,
every turn you get this little bonus point, and you can press your R button up to 3 times to power up the attack or spell that you're about to cast, based on how many of those bonus points you have. So you can unleash a 4-attack salvo all at once if you've saved up enough points. You can carry up to 5
okay.
at a time.
I'm sorry, this might, it might look, because I'm looking at Kevin, it might seem like I'm getting very disinterested. It's not, the reason is I'm realizing that I'm not going to like this game. The only right. JRPG I've ever liked is Earthbound. It has the worst fucking battle mechanics. Like, it's so hard. You can't revive your teammate unless you have a specific item, but the story is amazing.
This game is very difficult. Okay, maybe not very difficult, but it is
just
difficult.
It's just, I sat there and I had the demo downloaded. I was like, I'm going to get a JRPG. This is exactly what I did when Final Fantasy 13 came out and 14 or 15. I was like, I'm going to get into a JRPG. And Final Fantasy 15 ain't a JRPG. It's different, but it's the same thing. I just don't like JRPGs. I don't know why it is I want to get into them whenever there's like a hot new one. Maybe it's just I want to like the hot thing, but it looks like I'm not going to like Octopath Traveler. But for those who enjoy the genre, it sounds like it's changing up some gameplay.
It is. It's changing it up enough that keeps it fresh and interesting. But it is still very comfortable. So combat, one thing I really like. They have a job system, which I'm always a fan of.
Yes.
By unlocking moves, actionable moves, things that you can use in combat, you get these passive moves. So, for example, if you have a move that buffs you, the thief, after learning 4 different job skills, can have a chance on use of one of those buffs to also attack. So, interesting things like that.
Just passive bonuses to add stuff up.
Then, like, the character's skills, I would say, are my third favorite okay. thing about the game, where, like, Ophelia is the cleric. She has a guide ability, where if you guide someone, they can follow you into combat, and you can summon them, and then at every turn, they perform an action along with your action.
It's funny that you picked Ophelia, because I was going to talk about Primrose.
Primrose is the rogue version of Ophelia.
Does exactly that. She'll dance and seduce.
Yep.
Ooh!
And you bring someone into battle. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's like, well, it's not, I don't think it's specifically delegated to males.
I never thought
I was
about
just going to say that. But
Primrose
it's
can
not.
Seduce.
I don't know.
And she will.
I don't know males. If there are, you know, like distinct differences between the two skills. I would imagine because they made them different out of combat skills that there's maybe a small difference. Mechanically, they might serve the same purpose. The other one I really like is the Huntress. While you're fighting creatures, you can capture them, kind of like Pokemon.
Yeah.
But each creature does one of those different attacks.
Okay.
So you can summon them in battle and they'll do an axe attack or a sword attack on.
It sounds like they're very much, when I heard about this game, it sounded like the sell was that they all have very widely different stories.
Yeah.
And there's a big narrative too. And it seems like that part of it fell flat, but it seems like the gameplay and the actual combat stuff is where it gets interesting.
Gameplay is solid. The stories leave a little bit to desire. You know, it's certainly not the worst writing I've ever seen in a game, but it's not
of the quality of a JRPG.
Yeah, I almost expect more for Square Enix, to be honest.
How far are you into it?
That's what I was going to ask.
5 hours?
Have you been playing just the one character?
No, I've gotten 3.
Okay.
So, point.
A Square Enix JRPG you could finish in 40 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my opinions of this are first blush. I should know.
You are in roughly chapter 1 still.
Yeah, yeah.
The collection phase.
Right.
You're probably going to end up playing this more than once.
I guess that's my
maybe
question.
Not you,
I don't
but
know.
I feel like we have to have it played in multiple ways.
Yeah.
I feel like when you finish it, since you have it physically, you being Kevin is who I'm directing this at.
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to give it to Tyler, or he's going to play it differently. And once I get around to it, I'm going to play it completely differently than both of you would play it.
Right.
Because
yep.
I'm going to get the warrior, which is what I always goddamn do.
So, okay.
You
so
don't
we'll,
do that.
We'll have to talk about this so I can purposefully pick a different path to see if it goes somewhere different.
Game of the Year, baby.
Fine by me.
I know for a fact that we have two, maybe three specific listeners that are also playing this game. And when they hear this, I would really like to hear some feedback in our Facebook group.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about it, yo.
Let's get a thread going where we talk.
Yeah, everybody.
Is
cool.
This is a good game, and I want to.
Everybody's playing on Octopath, and it's good too. It's just a overall thing as we move off of Octopath Traveler. If you guys have any other things you want to say about it,
I do.
I know Tyler probably had a lot.
I didn't do my negatives, but the big negative is the story. So Tyler,
let me just real quick finish my thought before Tyler. Just generally speaking, especially towards the end of the year, Game of the Year stuff. When we're picking our Game of the Year, it's all about what us three like to. It's our choice, but. If we have a lot of fan engagement, we might take that into consideration.
Oh, for sure.
So with a thing like Best RPG, which right now there isn't a ton of entries in, I mean, if you guys are really hot on Octopath Traveler and it's something that propels our community, we're going to take that into account and those things will get more talk. So
we could even do End of Year Polls.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, like End of Year Polls, we'll do fan
favorites. I feel like that's also good.
Great.
But propelling the conversation also helps us immensely for information later in the end of the year that we can use. Tyler, though, Octopath Traveler, you're playing as Primrose. She's a seducer.
I'm not playing, but okay. I understand the game a little bit.
Have done the things.
So the combat, Kevin and I discussed this earlier, that is very much like Shin Megami Tensei, where Persona...
The big Persona Grandpa series.
Where you have a list of things that your opponent's weak against, and there's a list of things that you can do. And it's like that. You know your opponent, you take advantage of that, and you stun them, and you get extra turns. So that's that part. Now I forget the rest of it.
It's okay. How about we move on, and then if you remember it later, then you can hop back to it.
I don't know, really. I was just going to talk about the Shin Megami game on the phone.
This SMT phone game?
Yeah.
I feel like we can maybe... We're about 40 minutes in. There's some shit at the end of this that I'm probably just going to hop through. Like, literally just bounce from one to one, and then you can throw your stuff in there, too.
Boogie.
Am I the only one who played Yoku's Island Express?
I played it.
Okay, you played it?
Yep.
I have beaten it. It's like maybe a 5 to 6 hour game. I think it's my front runner for Indie Game of the Year. But I'm interested to hear what... Kevin has to say, also Tyler, because I'm a huge fan of pinball, and I'm also a huge fan of Metroidvania stuff.
Someone said this is what Sonic Spinball should have been.
This is what, yes, 100%, 100%. That is, yeah, if you have one sentence that you need to know about Yoku's Island Express, it is that sentiment. Sonic Spinball, which was the Sonic pinball game for Genesis, this is what they were trying to go for that. But you layer on Metroidvania elements. It's a game where you play as a dung beetle named Yoku. You arrive at an island named, like, Mokonuma or something. You're the new postmaster. You have to get all around the island and deliver mail and parcels. Problem is, you can only walk left or right. There's these flippers embedded into the environment that are color-coded blue or gold. That's left and right trigger. And you play pinball. Sometimes you're doing, like, little platforming that's kind of simple. Sometimes you're actually in these self-contained pinball areas where it's very simple to know what you need to move forward, but you're doing pinball shots, and eventually you'll get a new item that, oh, maybe I can grapple hook now. It's very basic Metroidvania mechanics balanced with really, really cool and responsive pinball, especially for someone like me who loves it. Kevin, I feel like I played pinball way, 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 way more than you did. In our past, but I want to see if you thought it was just as good, or maybe I'm alone.
The game is real smooth.
That's
the transitions from open world to like little pinball sets is really it almost sneaks up on you. It's kind of nice, and I kind of like the objective based progress system. I will say, however, I probably won't 100% this game. I probably won't beat it. Not that I don't like it, but it's not the thing I'm going to invest a ton of time in.
Not your cup of tea?
It's not even so much that it's not my cup of tea, because I could really see myself liking the game. I just don't have the patience, I think. it's not hard.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, I got my experience from the short time I played it.
My bottom line with the whole thing is my lovely partner, she only beats like one or two games a year. She'd be three sittings. She went through. She beat it before I did.
If it's that short, I might do it.
Oh, yeah, no. If you're just going for it, the thing about this is, like, any Metroidvania game, you can go back to previous areas. If you mainline the story, you can beat it in 3 hours.
Oh.
I'm 100% sure, or 4 at the max, even if you're not a pinball expert. Because my girlfriend, who is decent in pinball, but is by no means, like, She doesn't know how to trap the ball. She hits both flippers at the same time sometimes. She beat it in, like I said, 3 sittings, maybe 6 hours, 7 hours. And she got 60% of the way through. So she was doing extra stuff. But not Octopath. Yoku's Island Express is something you can get on PC, Switch, Xbox, PS4, all over the place. $20. It's really cute. If you like pinball, check it out. If anything, watch a video because the title is so bad. Yoku's Island Express just sounds like either like some weird Japanese JRPG or some like garbage indie that popped up on Steam. I don't think it sells the game that well. I think if they called it Dung Beetle Pinball Island Adventure, that would be better. Because that's what it is. It's really cute. We'll talk about it at the end of the year. Kevin.
That good, huh?
Yoku?
Yeah,
it's good.
Oh, yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. Oh, for me specifically, if you take Pinball and you take Metroidvania and you put it on top of each other, that is, I'm there. I'm 100% there. Sonic Spinball was the game that I wish could have defined my childhood. And it didn't because it sucked.
I don't want it to sound like I'm dogging it. I genuinely enjoy this game. It's just not my type of game.
Usually. It's one of those, it's laid back. You play it in like bite-sized pieces. You can blast all the way through it, but it's very much... it's good for like pick up, play a little pinball area, unlock a thing with the fruits. Because all you're really doing is you're just pinballing around this world. You're collecting these little fruit collectibles that you'll use to unlock like other flippers that let you go to new places. You're going to a destination to talk to somebody who will give you an item, essentially. I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. But that is an awesome indie game. We talked about this on episode 107, we being me and Tyler, but you were not here.
I was not here.
I just wanted to give you a moment, just that Chucklefish Wizard.
Spellbound.
Yeah. I just wanted do we have any more information on this besides the screenshots and the time they announced? I feel like you would be the guy to know.
Not a ton. I think a lot of the focus at this point is still on Stardew multiplayer. I know that Eric Baroni is separate from Chucklefish.
Yeah.
But even still, like, my personal focus has been more on Stardew multiplayer, which is coming August 1st.
August 1st, is that
for PC?
Oh, okay.
Switch will be coming shortly thereafter. I can't imagine it'll be much longer.
I still think it's weird they're doing Switch over before, like, Xbox and PS4, because the Switch online is not great. We'll talk about that with Mario Tennis Aces.
But... Boy, I gotta say, since I heard multiplayer was coming out... before I even owned a Switch, I was looking forward to playing Stardew on the Switch. I have bought this game 4 times.
I just don't understand why you need to play Stardew multiplayer. It's like...
I feel like when I play that game, it's a perfect game to be in a party chat for and be like, yep. Yo, go water my flowers, yep. Or I'm going to go into the mine. Or I feel like that's what it's good for. I played like maybe 4 or 5 in-game days, or like a week in-game, and I didn't really... I liked it. What was that, E3 or Game of the Year 2016?
Yep.
Yeah, you can hear us talk about Stardew, but I've been saying I'll get it on Switch.
I bought it on Switch.
Yeah, I feel like at this point it's like $20. I should probably just get it.
I don't know that.
It's fantastic.
I'm going to play it again.
Is it physical or is it digital?
It's digital.
Oh, shit.
I have a physical copy on Xbox. I mean, like
I
said,
I want to play it on Switch with you, babe.
I bought it twice on PC, I bought it once on Xbox, and I bought it once on Switch.
We'll get Stardew Valley, and we'll get more of that, more of the Spellbound news as it comes, but I think that one's further down the pipeline.
Oh yeah.
Tyler, real quick, just because we talked about this last episode, but I don't want to get too much more minutes on it, but Slay the Spire.
Ow.
What?
Ow.
Slay the Spire.
I pulled face hair out of my face.
Oh, I thought you said help, because somebody has been spending a lot of his time in Slay the Spire.
Yeah.
On last episode, he was like, I think I'm going to play this game quite a bit. Tyler, how many hours?
I'm at 62 hours now on a
2 weeks
roguelike card game. I mean...
You're getting to know Tyler through this, the medium we know as a podcast.
I've had it for a month. And every morning I wake up, yeah, I know I'm going to be the man that climbs the spire again.
I'm going to climb that spire.
And I can't stop. I do it every night before bed, and I do it every morning before Sarah leaves.
Has anything new popped up as far as patches, additions?
Yeah, there was a huge patch. Okay. They added in, like, 4 relics, a dozen enemies, some new cards, balancing issues. I mean, it's interesting
watching
them.
They added
them.
Balancing issues, or they fixed some?
What did I say?
Added. Well, it's okay.
They added more balancing issues.
That's good. It's always good to have more problems.
No, I mean, I like watching them go through it and analyze the cards that they have and say, no, we gave this gives you too many things.
Well, at least the developer is actively engaging with the game they've made.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that Tyler found a game, and it's an indie game that was on its way along, and he put 60 hours into it, and goddamn it was worth it.
Yeah, hell yeah, it was worth it. It was nice and free.
So even if he stopped playing today, I have no doubt that this will be either his mobile of the year, indie of the year.
Boy,
we'll see. There's some shit.
You know, I would probably spend $15 on the Play Store to buy it on my phone just so I could have it some more. I would start over.
If anything,
it's that interesting.
If anything, take that as a recommendation. Slay the Spire, it's free. You can get it on Android and iOS, or just Android?
Well, neither. It's on PC right
PC,
now.
PC, my bad.
Only.
Sorry.
It's not on mobile.
Sorry, I was Please come to mobile. I was thinking of Underhand.
Stormbound.
Please, Megacrit.
Is on.
So, Slay the Spire on PC.
Underhand, yeah.
Underhand is what I was thinking of.
That's a good game. That's a fun couple hours you could spend.
Shit, this is just another Independence episode.
You're welcome.
I had a lot. I was sitting there like pretending like I was talking with you guys on the podcast while I was listening.
Nice.
I had a lot of, you know, other stuff to throw in there.
So you were practicing?
No, I was just, you know, pretending.
Slay the Spire, yeah?
I haven't played it.
Okay. Now, this next one... I know that me and Kevin have played. I don't know if you've played, but it's been on many a system. It's a little game they call Night Trap. Let's talk about Night Trap Remastered. All right, Jesus. Guys. You play as some girls attacking vampires during their sleepover. Except you're naked. Nidhogg 2.
And one of you is secretly
a Nidhogg 2. Nidhogg 2.
Nidhogg 2.
Kevin, you played the first one.
Yes, I did.
I played that as well.
Okay.
I had it on Vita.
Okay, see, Nidhogg 1 was a game that was on lots of PlayStation platforms, very indie.
Twitchy.
Yeah, it was a kind of a casual, competitive multiplayer game. Nidhogg 2 is...
Made you want to stab your friends.
Then that's what you're doing in the game, stabbing your friends. Now, Nidhogg 2 is essentially more of the same, except in the first game, it was just kind of like low-res graphics.
Little blocky boys.
With rapiers.
Yep.
And now it is...
Now you're Muppets with swords and rapiers.
Bows,
and
daggers.
Daggers and...
There's really not much to
Straight
it.
Straight up look like Muppets.
Ooh, boys.
What's up?
I did see that.
Oh.
This one's for Kevin.
Oh, all right.
Dang.
The tables have turned. I put up my 10 hands, or my 10 fingers.
Your 10 hands.
Once again.
You have 100 words.
Once again,
let's go.
We're a growing podcast. I like to explain the bit. I have 10 fingers up. These 10 fingers, this was Kevin's bit he invented. They represent one word. Kevin has 10 words to describe what Nidhogg 2 is.
Let's do this.
All right, ready? And go, no music needed.
Muppet fight. Many weapons.
He's counting out his words.
Yes, I am.
He's cheating.
Kill your friends. Get eaten.
Oh.
You done
get
been
eaten.
And-
Get worm et.
Get, okay, I know what you're...
Yeah, get worm eaten.
At the end of each round, you get eaten by the Nidhogg, which is not the world serpent, but it's a giant snake.
Big-ass snake.
Nidhogg and
world serpent are two different entities. I went to a party over the weekend, and I argued this with somebody who was reading... They opened up Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman and went to the back
they
and was like...
It?
Yeah,
with them?
Yeah, he was
what
reading
What kind of party
it.
Was this?
This is a party at my friend's house. It was a great party.
Was it your friends?
Yeah, my friends.
And we weren't there?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, you wouldn't want to have been at this party. trust me, this is not...
You're referencing literature.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking gnarly up there. Nidhogg 2 is cute. There's like three modes of play. Arcade, which is just a single player. Local, which is what it sounds. You against a friend with different modifiers. And online.
Matt's trying to be modest. What he means to say is he's number 10 right now.
I'm number six.
Number six right
look,
now.
And I'm not even trying, but I play... Look, there's like 10 achievements in this game, and I've been on this huge achievement kick lately, because I'm just about to break into top 30 in Ohio, and I was looking for some easy achievements. Nidhogg 2 had like 12, and I was like, I can get some of these easy. One of them was beat the single player campaign. It's like 10 levels, and in Nidhogg, all you're doing is you're on these one-on-one face-offs. You kill the opponent, and then you try to... progress past their side of the screen.
Yeah, you run to the next next scene.
So you're either run to the right, your opponent run to the left, you're trying to kill each other. It's all wacky combat.
It is vibrant.
It yeah, in the colors and the music. Well, you'd love the music if you haven't played Nidhogg 2. I understand. It's very good, very EDM, very experimental in some points too. The point being, there was an achievement to beat the single player campaign. I beat it. They tell you your time at the end of it. My first try, I beat it in 22 minutes. There's an achievement for beating it in under 20 minutes, and 22 minutes put me at number 98 in the world on Xbox. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm actually halfway decent. I waited till my girlfriend went to sleep, played it again, beat it in 14 minutes, and...
Achievement to unlock.
Achievement unlocked. I'm number 6 in the world, and I like that game, but I'll probably only ever play it multiplayer. That's what that game is good for.
Yep.
Nidhogg 2 is perfect if you're looking for a game to play while you're smoking, drinking, at a party. Something simple that anybody can pick up and anybody can beat anybody. There's some skill to it, but it really is about just stabbing your friends. I think it would help if we slightly explain the controls, and I feel like you'd do a better job with that, Kevin, or yeah, Tyler, even.
I'd be happy to
explain Nidhogg 1. I don't know if they added anything.
Mechanically, no.
No, explain Nidhogg 1, how it works. It's just you with you against another dude with a sword.
Right, so you're stick man with sword, and you can either prepare low or high, and or then middle. You stab. Yep. Or middle. I never knew that.
Yep.
And then you could go one step further and raise your sword above your head and throw it.
Yes.
Yep. So yeah, you're either stabbing low, mid, high, and you also block low, mid, high. And if you got a sword coming at you, you block high and you block it.
There's even as Tyler says, it sounds more complex than it is. You're not pressing any button besides the jab button.
Yep.
So that means
up and down
or jump.
Well, up and down. You can jump kick if you want, but it's very, very basic. The only difference between Nidhogg 1 and 2, besides the graphics and the new stages and stuff, is they've added like big swords, so that changes. There's bow and arrow, so those can be reflected back at you. Daggers and stuff. A lot of cool stuff.
I would like to add that the whole point of the high, mid, low mechanic is that if your sword is lower than the other person's when stabbing, you will disarm them.
Yeah, you can like put it underneath them and then raise it up and like knock it out of their hands.
Yes.
Yeah. Can't you do the same? Like, can't you like swat it down?
Huh?
In the new one, they have the normal rapier, which functions the exact same. All of them have a low, mid, high guard thing. Whatever.
Yeah.
They have this big ass sword. It's not. It's just a bigger sword than the rapier.
It's like a long sword.
And you kind of like golf swing it, and you can just knock the rapier out of their hand. There's a dagger that's really quick when you throw it, and like Matt said, the bow and arrow. So.
I like the bow and arrow a lot because I feel like I'm just spamming with it.
I'm so bad with it. At no point, so much fun.
And that's, I guess, that's the whole reason why that number, like, top 10 in the world surprised me. Because at no point did I feel like I was winning. And at no point was I just blasting through every level.
You don't win Nidhogg, you still get eaten.
Oh, yeah. At the end of every level, you get eaten by the Nidhogg. Play that game, it's good. It's a single developer game, I believe. Or maybe a very small team. Kevin, do you want to talk about this next one, or do you want to leave it for another time?
Let's leave it.
Okay. We'll talk about it some other time. It's good. I'm going to real quick say Broken Age is fantastic. I don't really need to talk about Broken Age all that much. Have you played it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Did you beat it?
No.
Did you play at least both?
No.
As the boy? Okay.
I did understand what I was getting myself into, and I'm like, how was I supposed to know that I was supposed to crawl through that vent up there? I don't know.
You played as the boy first?
Yeah.
Okay, so all I want to do is set this up. Broken Age is a game that came out quite a while ago. It's made by Double Fine, and it is essentially an old point-and-click adventure with new graphics, okay?
I talked about it on New Game Plus.
Yes. It is great. The reason I like it so much is because the concept is super, super... Maybe not the concept. The story premise is super, super, super cool and very engaging right from the get-go. You have two different characters. One, her name is Vella. Vella. She lives in this town called Sugar Bunting, where every few decades or something, a giant monster named Mog Chothra comes down and picks these maidens up and eats them so it doesn't destroy the town. She is one of the maidens who's been chosen for the maiden's feast, but she doesn't think that the maidens should be eaten by the giant monster just to save the town, that they should instead fight. Meanwhile, you have this other story of this boy named Shay, who lives on a spaceship that is seemingly controlled by his robotic parents or his AI parents, where every single day he just goes over the same routine. He's like a teenager of going on these quote-unquote missions where he'll save the teddy bears from the ice cream mountain.
He sets up his own missions and
And it seems like
he goes on them.
It seems like he's on the ship that is specifically made to push him through this like idealistic day after day after day. And then one day he finds out that not everything is as it seems. And essentially both eventually cross over. But the main through line is that it is a point and click adventure, which means it's a lot of puzzles that are going to be kind of obtuse, very obtuse in this case. The writing is fantastic, though. It's amazing. The visuals are fantastic. So if you're a fan of narrative games, if you're a fan of puzzle-solving games and point-and-click adventures, like Thimbleweed Park specifically, you will love this game. It's available on Steam, PC, Xbox, everything but Switch, I'm pretty sure. Kevin, I would say, at least from a writer's perspective, you should read the wiki.
Okay.
You should just read the story. Yeah. It's very subversive. Okay. It does a great job taking your expectations and then being like, it's way cooler than you even thought. So that's good. These next two, yeah, real quick. Lego Incredibles and Lego City Undercover. Lego City Undercover came out for the Wii U, and then I played it on the Xbox with my friend. Don't play that game with a co-op partner. That's all I'm going to say, because the game was never made for co-op. So essentially you have one person just standing there, or you have to be like, I'll do this side of the room, you do that side of the room, because the game was never intended for two people. That being said, it's like Grand Theft Auto, but Lego. If that's what you're looking for, I mean, it's cool. You can run around an open world. You're a cop. You save people. The Lego Incredibles is also in an open world. You're a superhero. You can save people in Municiburg or whatever the hell the name of the city is. I think it's actually called Municiburg. The weird thing about this one, though, Lego Incredibles, is that it's much shorter than other Lego games. When we're talking about the actual levels. There's only 6 levels per movie. They force you to start Lego Incredibles 2 before you do 1. Well, that's actually a lie. They make you finish the whole of Lego Incredibles 2 before you can play Lego Incredibles 1, which is really weird.
That is really weird.
Yeah, yeah, especially considering that it came out the same day of the movie. So, right. I don't know. I saw it. It's a good representation of the movie. It's very easy. It's made for kids. It's very hard to die. There's a few spots you might get kind of hung up on, but altogether, I would say Lego Incredibles is probably one of the better Incredible or Lego games. It has that whole open world thing, though, you know, so you'll play through the missions and you get like 5 to 6 hours of Lego Incredibles actual story missions. And then it's doing, you know, crimes around the city. I think the coolest part of it is once you go into the city and you start exploring and doing those side missions, you can unlock other Disney characters. So the first extra character I actually unlocked was Dory. I did an underwater racing like little thing with Dory. So it's cute. Very specifically, buy this if you have kids who like Disney property. It's a no-brainer. They'll make sure they've seen Lego Incredibles 2 first, because that's how it starts. They're like, hey, hope you've seen this movie, because it's this is what it is. But yeah, it's really, really cute, really fun. Lego City Undercover, it's okay, but at this point it's like 6 years old and like $20, so get it if you want. This next one as well, I can just hop over. I thought we had a lot of stuff. I only had like a few really big things and then a lot of jokes. The only reason Dark Souls Remastered is on this list is because I got it from the library. I put it in my Xbox at like 5 a.m., got to the character creation screen, and went, I'm not starting Dark Souls at 5 a.m., and I haven't touched it since. It's literally the only reason it's on this list. I tried, guys. That seems to be what happens every single time Dark Souls comes up. But besides that, I've been playing Minecraft Story Mode. It's a good time. You like Minecraft? Actually, just from a Telltale perspective, it's probably one of the better Telltale stories. I don't have a huge love for Minecraft. I feel like you guys like Minecraft
more. I like Minecraft, but I like Minecraft without a story.
I feel like that is... I feel like it goes against the grain of Minecraft to have a character and a narrative, but they do a great job evoking the creativity of the game. It's really good.
Right.
And also has like 16 episodes.
It's kind of probably like self-aware, like in best example I can come up with is like the Lego movie, where it's we build things out of blocks. Like
yeah.
Part and parcel of who we are.
That's essentially, like one of the first achievements is you come to your first crafting table, because there's a craft table in the game, and they're like, I think it's a sword or something, and if you make a lever instead, because you have the crafting material, they'll give you an achievement. So, it's like, if you played Minecraft and some of the HUD stuff, it's cute. If you like Minecraft, and you like adventure games, and you want a little bit of story with it, go for it. It's very low-key. It's not something that's gonna be difficult. I think the last thing I really want to talk about, because I believe all three of us have played at least the demo. I played the full game. It's our plumber friend once again, sticking his nose into business where it don't belong. This time, a tennis racket.
Serena Williams.
Serena Williams. Hey, Serena Williams, she's doing... Her nose belongs directly on the tennis court.
Yeah, but she's a plumber.
Oh, well. Maybe she does a secret side job. The economy's kind of rough nowadays. Sorry, Serena. She's got that kid. Gotta make your money somewhere. We've lost the thread again. Luigi found a tennis racket that's haunted. And Mario and Wario and Waluigi have become mummy, chrome mummies. So has Luigi. Beyond that, I really don't know what this game is about. It's about Mario playing tennis.
Because the guy who hunts ghosts found a haunted racket.
Yeah. So in the world of Mario Tennis Aces, Mario is, he's Mario. And they're all doing a tennis tournament. Because, you know, Mario Tennis. Except Luigi has a racket. And the racket has a soul in it or some shit. And then they all become chrome mummies. And by all of them, I mean Luigi, Wario, and Waluigi. And can we just for a second talk about why it's weird that all of a sudden Luigi is now on, like, the bad side? Like, why is that? It's like
Did you see him in Mario Kart 8?
Yeah, but it's like Mario and Toad are friends going as Luigi, Wario, and Waluigi. It doesn't really vibe with the whole... It doesn't matter, because as soon as you start playing the tennis single player, the story doesn't matter. They're just like, we gotta find these power stones or whatever. Like, it doesn't... It's not actually a story. It's just a reason for you to go from tennis match to tennis match. I played and beat the whole entire single player. I played some online, and I played the tournaments. How much of the Mario Tennis Aces did you guys get?
I didn't get a chance to play the demo.
Me neither.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess I'm flying solo on this one, too. And so for that reason, I'll be brief. The single player is like 5 hours. You'll get stuck on a few places, and then once you're done with it, you'll be like, that was fun. What now? You'll go to tournament mode, and you'll see that there's only three tournaments. There's like the Mushroom Cup, which I beat without losing. The Star Cup, which I beat without losing. And then the Flower Cup is the second one. And the Star Cup, which I didn't end up playing because I took it back. Because besides that, there is very light local play. And then online play that is laggy as shit. Also, remember earlier, Tyler, how you said, like, Slay the Spire, they're working on balancing issues and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, Mario Tennis Aces, there's this character called Bowser Jr. who can hit the tennis ball anywhere on the court because his arms are so wide. And he can charge all the time. In Mario Tennis Aces, if you press A or press a button to hit a ball while it's still coming at you, you charge up your shot. If you successfully hit a charge shot because you haven't moved and you figured out where the ball was going to be, you gain power. Once you gain power, you can do really good special shots. Bowser Jr. doesn't have to move because he can hit it regardless of where he's at, which means he can always build up power, which means he can always use his special moves, which means he's effectively a defensive and offensive powerhouse. Which means if you come against a Bowser Jr., you will lose. They did their first official Mario Tennis tournament thing. I think one of these guys made it to, I think it was 6th or 5th place. And when he lost, he took the mic and said, you all suck. I only played this for a weekend and I chose Bowser Jr. This game is trash. So literally someone who didn't play the game picked Bowser Jr. and made it to a top 10 in an official tournament. That proves how broken he is. Has not been fixed yet. So the online is busted because everyone is playing as Bowser Jr. and it's laggy. And the single-player offerings are maybe, like, 6 hours. I don't want to sit back here and say that Mario 64 was better, because maybe that's just nostalgia speaking. But Mario 64 probably was better.
Mario Tennis 64, you mean?
Yeah, Mario Tennis 64.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I'm let down, because at baseline, it's 5 hours of, like, fun Mario Tennis single-player.
For $60.
But that's the kicker.
I think we can all agree that the best tennis franchise game even ever made. Wii Sports.
Yeah, okay. Wasn't
sure where you were going with that.
Yeah. For a second I was like, we gonna have a fight here? But then you said Wii Sports and I'm oddly comfortable with it.
I just love that you can stand at the front of the net, your clone, literally your clone, and just
I think Wii Sports, you know what? I think Wii Sports is probably the most popular sports game ever.
I want to switch sports.
I feel like that's
really
what,
upset that there wasn't one.
I feel like that's what the whatchamacallit was supposed to be.
1-2-Switch.
1-2-Switch is supposed to be that, and then they're like, hey, you could feel balls in the controller and eat a Subway sandwich with your mouth.
No in-package game.
My favorite mini game was the part where it's like, hold your controller in this yoga position. And I was like, this is a video game that I'm playing. the Nintendo Switch has been, you know, I've been playing it way, way more than lately, or than anything else really lately. I was on a big Xbox kick, but besides that, it's been a lot of Switch. Guys, we made it through this episode way quicker than I thought we were gonna.
Yipper.
Honestly, I think our listeners deserve a shorter one.
Yeah,
after
dude,
an hour and a half, 2 hours.
I mean, I got a couple mobile games I'd like to shout out real quick.
Yeah,
I don't have to go into detail.
And Tyler, I want him to be able to talk about Shin Megami Tensei after I went through all my stuff. So, guys, we're moving away from the console, the PC games, and we're moving into what we know as the mobile corner. I feel like this is the nice replacement for Tyler's Steam segment.
Yeah,
Tyler, it's been a while since you've been on the show, buddy. Probably not listening to this, but Tyler, another show host, not this Tyler that I'm looking at right now, but other Tyler, he had a Steam segment. I feel like the mobile segment is a good replacement because we all play mobile stuff. Let Tyler start with this sexy Shin Megami Tensei mobile. But welcome to the mobile corner. I think I have something I can talk about too. Tyler, go away. Not go away. Take it away.
So
Tyler, go away.
Shin Megami Tensei, the Devil.
It's a
downloader. Or digital Yikes. Downloader. No, that's Devil Downloader. It was released today. And this game was designed and prepared to be a console experience. I quote, a console experience on mobile for free with a little bit of time constraints.
It's like what they were saying with the Elder Scrolls thing. We want you to have the console experience, but in the palm of your hand on your phone.
Yes. So,
have you played it?
I've played through chapter 1-7.
Okay. Then I feel like you, and you of all people, probably have the most backing on the Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah. And I played Shin Megami Tensei 4 for the DS after I played Persona 4, and I'm like, I understand why people like both of these games and why people say this is the greatest JRPG ever. It's pretty good. I wouldn't say it's the best one ever.
I stopped into a stream the other day and they're playing Persona 5. It was Matt Falvey, a 90skid.com. Check out his stream. He was playing Persona 5 and I was like, ooh, I gotta go. I don't want to watch Persona. Spoilers. I'm gonna play that at some point. I'm just saying it's like the only game that I've actively avoided spoilers for this long.
P4?
P5.
P5. I have to finish it too.
Yeah. I watched for like 2 minutes and then as soon as some character starts talking about something, I'm like, no, gotta go. Because I don't know why. Once again, it's a JRPG. I don't even fucking like JRPGs, but for some reason, that game.
It's a different kind of JRPG.
I played it for 6 hours straight.
I've tried 5, maybe 6 times to get into P4 Golden.
Do P5.
Don't play it anymore.
Do P5. Yeah. No, do P5.
You have to give up on P4 now.
I think so.
Do P5 because I can say that I sat down, I played Persona 5, and I played it for 6 hours
and then
straight.
PS4.
And then
when I'm done with it, I will lend you my PS3.
Yeah, that's fine. That works.
Okay.
It's a good time. There's so much game there in Persona 5 that 6 hours does not even get you past like the beginning. So I just want to play it more. But the mobile version.
Very fun. Very interesting.
Dungeon crawly?
Dungeon crawly. I haven't gotten to that point. Apparently there is something that it's like an endless mode that feels like the labyrinthine mega crawl of Infinitum.
If I was going to make a dungeon crawling Shin Megami Tensei mobile game, it would be some sort of roguelike or endless something.
So it's so far it's comfy. So far I'm like, when am I going to get to make a choice that affects me negatively? Everything's either positive or neutral.
Okay. Not a lot of stakes, it
not
seems.
Not a lot of stakes. But, again, I'm still in Chapter 1. We'll see. I'm starting to like these characters, and you only see them... You see them very briefly, and it's not like they're voice acted or anything. Well, they are.
Are they?
In Japanese.
Hey, if you can understand Japanese, then welcome to Glorious Nippon.
And the... Dang. the music is awesome, I think. It's that same one riff over and over again, you know. Battle music.
I just want to Nidhogg 2, specifically when I was listening to it. And all of a sudden it's just like this raucous like synth that's like abrasive synth and it's like a bomb bomb bomb. Like, dude, Tyler would dig this shit. Specifically sitting there in my bed, in my underwear, playing this game, thinking of you. It's good music. Yeah, is that all you have about Shin Megami?
I mean, unless you have questions, it's a good time.
I want to play it. You sent me the invite. I have enough interest in that franchise and in that whole entire, I guess, yeah, that's like a thing. Shin Megami Tensei Persona, all of it. Is it Shin Megami Tensei or is it Persona?
So Shin Megami Tensei is the thing.
It's like the umbrella.
And then Shin Megami Tensei Persona
is the sub-series.
Is the sub-series as a high school student.
Yes.
And then there's Devil Summoner, which is...
Yes.
This is like a spin-off of that.
I wrote a top 100 3DS article.
It gets nuts.
I there's a lot of JRPGs. That's why I was... But the mobile is the overarching narrative. It's...
It's Devil... It's
Devil Summoner. Okay.
It's like a spin-off of that.
Makes sense. That's because more of a techie
thing. You literally play as someone on your phone.
Yeah, that's okay. That would make sense. That's something very Shin Megami Tensei. Kevin, you said you had a mobile game, right?
I got a couple.
I have, here's my mobile corner update.
You want to talk? I'm going to talk.
Almost a Hero is good. That's literally all I have.
Almost a Hero is good.
You're still playing that?
Dude, yeah. I got mythical stones or whatever.
Like I got it up right now while Kevin talks.
I have been playing. It's kind of a callback to my early years. There's this game on PC called Gunbound. I want to say it was like early 2000s.
Yes.
A little cartoony game. It's like a tank artillery style turn-based shooting at one another.
Tyler said Worms.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's kind of like Worms, but it's more tech than that. Like you have to, you know, deal with wind, and you're doing Worms, right?
Is it Worms but for real men?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like real boys.
No, don't get me wrong. I love Worms.
No, but me too.
Probably why I like this game so much. But this one's even more like your angles. You know, like you can take high angle shots and you get bonuses for that. And like you actually have like a number that your angle is based on. So you can like try to hit that angle again and match power so you can hit the person again. And like they have shots that like go through the terrain so you can like... I don't know. There's a lot of...
There's different weapons and different shit
that makes it fun. Yeah, different mechs that you can ride on and shoot at, and outfits you can, like, build that give you more health or attack and things like that. You collect shards for them, and then you know, you craft them. It's called Gun Online.
Gun Online.
You know, I downloaded this, and I'm like, I'm gonna not play this.
The Gun?
Mm-hmm. Exactly this game.
I feel like that's something that we should play together.
Kevin, yeah, I've been trying to get literally anybody to play with me.
Kevin wants to play. I'll play. I downloaded another one that Kevin was talking about, like Light Slinger Heroes. Is that good?
Yeah,
I haven't started it yet.
That is a blast. I'm glad you brought that up.
You should join our guild.
That and Tyler and I will also talk about Stormbound.
Stormbound is a really fun kind of card. It feels like Hearthstone-y.
It's like card chess.
Yeah.
Card chess.
It's like Hearthstone if Hearthstone was chess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have a 4x4 grid, and you play cards on your side of the table, and it plops a troop down on that grid, wherever you select it. And each turn, those troops move one square forward, or sometimes two, and that advances your front line. So you can then drop cards wherever that front line advances to. In the meantime, every opposite of your turn, your enemy is also playing cards against you, and they do anything from, like, you know, you can play a card that summons another troop right next to the one you're on, or you play support bots that give another random troop on the field extra troops that march forward.
Sounds kind of like Gwent, but with movement.
Kinda, yeah.
I haven't actually played Gwent. I need to play that.
Yeah, it sounds very similar to Gwent.
Have you played Witcher 3?
No.
Play Witcher 3 and play the Gwent that's in there.
Yeah. Do that.
Instead of just playing the standalone Gwent?
Because standalone Gwent, they changed it, they add some stuff, and I feel like normal Witcher 3 Gwent, if you're going to play Witcher 3 anyways...
That is my plan, I have it.
I was compelled enough by the Witcher 3's base level of Gwent that I collected every card, which means you have to play against like every innkeeper that's in that entire game. They do some stuff, you should play the Gwent standalone, but wait until they add the single player 30-hour campaign. I think at that point, that's what they've been working on. Currently, Gwent is free to play, because it's just, you know, competitive, you can unlock card packs. They've been working on, essentially, what is a Witcher story, but it's card battles, this big single-player thing. That's supposed to be releasing sometime this fall or this summer. I don't know, I haven't checked my PR people, lately, but I think at that point, that's when you learn the new Gwent or whatever, because they're probably balance-changing all that. But standard Gwent is really fun. It's easy and simple to understand for someone like me who doesn't get a lot of the minutia. But Gwent is probably my number one. Spellbound, good though? That's good.
Yeah.
Spellbound is good. It's interesting.
Stormbound.
Stormbound.
Sorry. Spellbound. I want that game to come out. Spellbound.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I really want that.
I'm so excited.
I don't think I've wanted anything. I think the love that you have for Stardew Valley now is the potential love I see for Spellbound in the future.
Lightslinger.
Yeah, tell me about this game.
Into that or not.
I haven't even pressed... I downloaded it. I haven't even pressed the icon.
It is a... Not quite a match three. It's kind of like Bubble Bobble, right? Is that what it's called?
Bubble Bobble, yeah.
I heard
Bubble
Bobble. That's why I downloaded it. I was like, okay, I'm in.
You know, it's one of those... You ever play Snood? It's kind of like Snood.
Yep. Lots of hours of Snood in my computer class.
The thing with this is, like, they have a couple different game modes you can play. So you can just do the regular campaign path, which is, like, PvE.
Yeah.
You can do Elite versions of quests, which give you better rewards, things like that, and then you can do arena and an event style thing. So first things first, you get a team of summonable units. You pick either an archer or this like guy with a cool shield at first.
Yeah, boy, you said guilds and then you guys said Bell Bobble, and I'm like, where is this meeting in the middle?
just wait, we'll get there. Of those two that you pick, you carry on with your story. You unlock more, you summon more units, people that you can stack your team with. You can have up to five on your team of different colors. There's a rock, paper, scissors color wheel, obviously. So, you know, green's good against yellow, and yellow's good against whatever. So when you're playing, if you match a certain amount of those orbs or a certain amount of time passes, you can activate your character's ability to do something specific. So, like, the archer, she has a special ball that you can shoot, and if you bounce it off a wall, it splits into five and then explodes where it hits.
Like the ice thing in Mega Man X.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly like Shotgun Ice.
The shield guy shoots a little shield-shaped ball that explodes in, like, three-tile radius whenever it hits.
I don't have a Mega Man one for that, but I feel like there is one.
I'm sure there is.
I'm liking how this game sounds.
And there are just, probably close to 50 different heroes that you can summon. But the beauty of the game is, like, at first I was worried because it seemed like a real hard cash grab, and their premium prices are expensive. However, there is no reason you have to do that. I personally do pay for their VIP because I really like the game. I like to support it.
Yeah. But you don't have to if you don't like
it. No, absolutely not. You can unlock characters by playing those elite quests. So you can, like, Tyler showed me this. Once you beat a quest, once you 3-star it, you can go back and do, like, an auto win. So you just use your energy to auto win that quest, and you get shards of a champion. Nice. Once you get a certain amount of shards, you get that champion, and then you combine them to power them up, stuff like that. The arena mode is really cool.
I like the arena mode.
I've just figured it out. I got to, like, sixth place in what I assume is the whole app this past arena.
It is your league.
Okay, so I got sixth place in my league this time around. All it is you pick one of three people who have their defenders, which is surmised of their heroes that they have, and you just try to beat all of them. And if you don't, no big deal. You get points for everyone you beat. It goes towards your overall score, which raises your ranking.
You don't get docked or anything?
You don't get docked.
That's good.
There's no negatives. Just playing arena, you're doing better than not playing arena.
Correct.
So even if you play something that's, like, way out of your league, like, in terms of numbers, like, they have a more powerful team than you do, you still get more points for attacking them and beating their characters.
Hell yeah.
Up to five of them.
Yes. And then the events are really cool because there's a couple different, like, events that they have. Either you can just grind out, you know, if they have, like, a panel of, like, three different heroes that you can play their level, basically, and earn their shards. Or they have, like, another quest line that you can follow. All in all, it's really fun.
It sounds like there's a lot of stuff that you can dig into.
Yeah.
Especially for being a free game.
But it isn't top-heavy. Like, there's a lot of free-to-play games that have a lot of those RPG mechanics.
It's right there, and it's overwhelming.
Oh, my
God. Right in your face.
It's all over the front screen and all this other shit. This game is quite a bit of fun. Tyler and I have a fun little guild going.
I'm watching Tyler play it.
One of my favorite things about it is as a reward, you get these little gift boxes.
Yeah, I'm in.
And they encourage you to give those gift boxes to other people. And so there's this really nice community aspect to it because of those gift boxes.
You cannot open these gift boxes yourself.
Yeah,
you have to give them
to someone else.
They're
designed to be given away.
Well, it's a good thing I got two buddies playing.
Right. People do trade them. They go on the global chat and they try to trade. But we try to give it to our guild members who are active, things like that. So
light slinger heroes.
Correct.
I just want to, because it is kind of a little bit of a generic name. In my opinion.
Yeah.
Light Slinger Heroes.
And
also,
anyone on the Facebook group that wants to join, let us know. You can hop in our guild. It's a lot of fun.
That just kind
of
goes without saying, guys. Just Facebook group. I love that we, thanks, Kevin, for saying to the Facebook group. Thanks to all the other people who've been hopping in. I've been seeing more and more comments from names I don't recognize, which is always great.
That's the best.
It might be cool to start a sticky thread where we post our like usernames so that we can play with our fans and stuff like that.
Yeah, guys, we'll do all that stuff. We're all new to this. A lot of social media stuff new. We had a Discord, but if you guys feel like that's something you want to do, just let us know. I feel like we are taking off, so to speak.
We have a nice little fan base going.
Hey,
it's fun.
I love you guys. You guys are great. Yeah. Real quick, just because I felt like we're getting too happy there for a second. Can you guys just shame me for a second?
Just tone it down a
because
little bit.
Because I pressed install on Harry Potter mobile.
Shame.
Again?
Yeah. And then my phone was like, hey, you don't have enough space. And then I almost deleted Reigns.
Are you kidding me? I still haven't deleted Reigns.
I know, and then at that point...
I haven't played it in weeks.
I haven't played it in fucking years.
Do you have Her Royal Majesty?
No, I don't. I wanted to beat Reigns.
Yeah.
And I didn't...
And now there's all sorts of clones.
Exactly. Yeah. I will get Her Royal Majesty after I finish Reigns, because I did not download Harry Potter. Currently, the only things I have on my phone are Almost a Hero, which is fantastic, and then Potion Punch and Pokemon Go I've been playing a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go.
My problem is that because I stopped playing Pokemon Go when everyone else stopped playing Pokemon Go.
Yep.
And then I picked it back up when everyone else picked it back up. Logged in, and it's like, you have a level 10 character. And in my brain, I was like, level 10? That sounds like a few hours played. That sounds reasonable. I didn't look at any of my Pokemon, so I've been playing for the past 3 days. Then I went to that same party, and our good friend Dylan was like, bro, you're only level 10? And I'm like, what? And he's like, that takes like 2 hours. And I'm like, I played like dozens of hours of this. He's like, then this isn't your original account. He looks at the date, it's like a month after the game started, so I must have like made a dupe account or something. And I'm like, oh shit. And I don't remember my original account, but so I might have to do that. But Potion Punch is fun too if you like games like Diner Dash, just the general ones like make the food while people wait kind of shit.
Yeah,
it's a really cute one of that. I like it quite a bit, and it all revolves around building your own potion shop.
Y'all have to give me your friend codes.
Do the
thing. We can post those on Facebook, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Don't forget to send me the thing, by the way. Yep, the meme for the Instagram.
I already liked it.
nice. Share. Likes are free, guys.
We actually already did get a share on it.
Oh, really? Nice.
Thank you to Luke.
Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, person.
The content's not even out yet, and you're there. Guys, it's been a good one, Kevin.
Yeah.
That's your cue to start formulating this game fact if you don't already have one.
I'm going to hear it.
Not yet. We gotta.
I want it.
Not yet.
You got to wait for the spice.
But I want to have it. You can't have it anymore because you're a stupid little baby man. I'm not stupid anymore.
You got to wait for the spice.
So, just as you said, that fucking spice latte from freaking Starbucks pops up from that stupid Pokestop. Guys, there are so many places you can reach out to us on the internet, on social media. We've been talking about it the whole time. But just for a recap, if you're old school, you want to email us something, sgc64mail@gmail.com. We're on all social medias now. Let's do Twitters first. The show Twitter is @SuperGameCast64. But if you want to talk to me personally, I'm @SGC64Matt.
I'm @GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm @TTremalio.
Real quick, did you listen to episode 107 yet?
I did. He did a really good job.
Yeah, didn't he? Dude, it was so fucking good.
Even the cadence and everything was nice.
Uh-huh. And if you guys like other podcasts, listens to... our really good friends over at Shonen Trashcast, the anime podcast, they were on a like 2 to 3 week hiatus while they were dealing with some stuff, and they are back with like two new episodes.
I need to talk to them because I started anime.
Yeah, well, welcome to hell.
I literally in the time since I was last on an episode, I watched all of My Hero Academia, and I started One Piece.
Okay, I would... For a second in my brain, I was like, we should do an anime show. But no, because they do an anime show. You, Tyler.
I'd love to. I watch more than both of you.
Oh, okay.
That's a lie.
Yeah,
I used to, and I could probably keep up.
I think at this point, the rankings would be Tyler, then you, then me. Because I've watched like 3 episodes of Gantz, and I'm like, that shit's fire.
I've watched Inuyasha twice.
Okay.
That doesn't count.
I think Dan...
It does count.
Young Dan Owen is all the way at the top, watching all of One
Dan's
One
number
Piece.
One.
Yeah. No, I'm watching all of it. I'm going to watch all of it.
So, Shonen Trash
Lord,
definitely listen to that. They're back. choose my own adventure.
Yeah,
yeah, dude, I got
it. You got it right.
Yeah,
you got
messed that up. Oh, we got other places. There's
friends over at Almost Better Than Silence.
Oh, yeah. Doug.
Doug and everybody over at ABTS.
They're doing good. There's so many shows you can listen to, guys. Besides that, though, leave us the reviews on iTunes. Like I said, VVRobot 2K12 3000 will read your review live out on the show. You can also find us on Instagram at SuperGameCast64. And I feel like I might be forgetting something. The Facebook group, but you guys know we're there. We love you so much.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Do you have a topical spicy game fact? Is this like a retro spicy game fact? I hit my funny bone.
Honestly, it is. It's topical, but only specifically for this episode. So we were talking earlier about how our good friend Tyler, other Tyler.
Yes.
Used to have a Steam segment.
Our good friend Tyler, not this Tyler. No. Let me just. This Tyler right here
is clearly not a good friend.
Is a very good friend. The other Tyler is also a very good friend. I just want to make sure that our Tyler here knew that we love him deeply. But speaking of other Tyler.
Anyway, I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. No, so he used to have a Steam segment that
was comprised... You're uninvited to my wedding.
That was comprised of games that he has not played on his Steam list, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so statistically speaking, 37% of all games sold on Steam are never played.
Statistically speaking, about probably 300 of the 500 games that I own on that Xbox have never been played either. or City. I played Virtua Fighter 5 Showdown, and that was fun. I didn't even know I owned it. I think that was actually one of the things we got for free this week, or this month. Guys, it's been a wonderful episode.
Oh man, I gotta start doing that again.
At the end of July, we are here. That means we will be seeing you guys in August. With another new game plus with all the August releases. As always, now, I like to look ahead and to see what we're going to be talking about on next week or 2 weeks from now's show. Generally speaking, what you guys look forward to in August and the end of July, we got the Mega Man X Collection that both me and Tyler will be playing, Castle Rock, which is coming on Hulu if you're a Stephen King fan, the WarioWare Gold for 3DS, we'll definitely be talking about that.
There's a new No Man's Sky update.
No Man's Sky Next just came out.
There's a Sea of Thieves update.
And August, looking forward, we have Overcooked, Dead Cells, We Happy Few, The Walking Dead Final Season, and Yakuza Kiwami 2. All of those things coming up on future Super Gamecast 64 episodes. At this point, episode 108, you're definitely level 8. I think you've definitely earned enough to level up. Kevin, we're going to have to probably talk about your personal level because you missed one. And then we're going to talk about your personal level, Tyler, because you missed one. I'm at the king of the server, boy. You can't beat me. I've been here for 15 years.
Well, thank you for coming to my podcast, 24 Kevin. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm your host, Kevin.
I think
it's still got after, me.
Like the second time, I was like, "This motherfucker's really trying to make it the episode title." And now, yeah, no, you had, yeah, okay. Thanks for listening, to episode 108. Kevin 24, whatever.
24 Kevin, get it right.
I feel like you should say that again with your NPR voice.
This has been 24 Kevin.
All right, that's it.
Good enough for me.
Bye.